Scriptures will be happy to provide you a copy. We're looking at the kind of man your kids need. But before we go to the Father's Day message, Dads, it's going to be kind of like Mother's Day. Mother's Day message went two Sundays. Yours is going to go at least two Sundays. So just wanted to share that with you. Before we get started, I want to bring to you a story that's partly true in my own life. It's called Forgot Something. And it starts this way. It says, a man was on his way home with a new car. And you know how some of us can get really enamored with these newfangled machines. Anyway, it says here he was absorbed in his whole attention was on this car when it struck him that he had forgotten something. Twice he stopped the car, got out and went on the curb and went through his pockets, looked in the car, saw the parcels were there, but he still had this gnawing feeling that he had forgotten something. So when he reached home, his 9-year-old daughter, she came running out and she said, Daddy, Daddy, where's Mommy? And that kind of happened to us. You know, 25 years ago, Kathy and I bought that timeshare that we've been enjoying every year since. And 24 years ago, we took Mindy and Julie and Ronnie along with us to enjoy the timeshare and being on Maui and that kind of thing. But at the end of our time, you have to turn in the rental car and you have to put gas in it and fill it up and that sort of thing. So we stopped at the gas station just before we got to the airport. And I'm out pumping the gas, and everybody else got out of the car. They're going to the little mini mart, and they're going to the restroom and that kind of thing. And I finish filling that puppy up and get in the car, you know, count noses, and then I begin to drive out. And I almost hit the driveway when the kids all yelled out, Ron, or Dad, we don't have Mom. And then I look back, and there she is, hoofing it, you know, from the bathroom. All that to say, gentlemen, is that, you know, there are times in our lives when we don't really excel. We forget. Something gets our attention, pulls us away from the main thing. And I'd like to introduce to you the Lord Jesus Christ, gentlemen. He should be the main thing, the main person in your life and mine. So as we begin to peer into various passages of Scripture, ladies, obviously since it's the Word of God, this is for you too. But I'm focusing on the guys. And guys, since I'm focusing on you, I'm gonna be talking different. Usually I speak, you know, to all of us, and therefore I have to be sensitive to the fact that we have two genders in here. And just like when I was helping to coach Little League and with my son and so forth, you know, with him, it was a matter of, you know, he's sliding in the second base, you know, and he gets all messed up and bruised up and so forth and so on. And he kind of looks, you know, a little disheveled and hurt. And I just, hey, suck it up, you know, just pull yourself up, pull it together. But then as Julie decided she wanted to play baseball, and she was every bit as good as her brother, clobbering home runs and so forth. But, you know, it's different with the girls, because when you see them sliding in the second base, and you hear, oh, I broke a nail. You know, they're just sliding in the second base, and it's not, hey, suck it up, dude. It's a matter of going, oh, honey, are you okay? You know, the coaches treat the girls entirely different. Entirely different. And don't have that smug smile, you know. You want to be in some men's jobs, you know, that used to be just solely men. And, you know, you should be treated like one. But nonetheless, here we are, and I'm going to be talking to the guys. So, girls, if it seems like I get a little pointed, just figure, you know, your guy can handle it. The guys can handle it. Now, I recognize some of you guys probably never played sports, and that's okay. I'm still going to talk to you pointedly, maybe, because I remember how my coaches used to coach me, and speak to me. And they would, you know, Lord doesn't do this, but nonetheless, he did. If I messed up, you know, take a lap, son. That's a quarter mile, coach. Yeah, and since you decided to tell me all about it, you can take two laps. So it's just the way it is. Having been in the military, you know, those drill sergeants aren't nice. They aren't supposed to be nice. They're supposed to change my mind, moving from civilian life to being a military life, and it's very different. And in law enforcement, same thing. You know, we just talk to each other straight to face, you know, man to man. You know, in the Old Testament, we had these guys that the Lord called the mighty men of valor. Mighty men of valor. Guys, do you see yourselves being mighty men of valor? Tough dudes, you know? They're the guys that come off the bleachers. They're the ones that go in when the work needs to be done. They're the ones that do the job. They're leaders. And this is what our Lord is calling us to, guys. He's calling some of you guys to get out of the bleachers. He's telling you, put down the Dodger dog. He's telling you, hey, throw away the Coca-Cola. Don't call the guy for those peanuts anymore. You know, you're fat enough. Get out of the bleachers and come down on the field. No more of this observation. It's time for participation. And the American church is full of men that are nothing other than observers. They're up there, and you've got the pastors down there, and you've got the elders down there. You've got all of those that are part of the core value team serving, and they've got this sweat on their brow, and these people have the audacity up here. You know, you should have done it this way, you know. Yeah, you did it all wrong. You know, oh, why did Eugene pick those songs? I don't like those songs. They should have been these other songs. You know, Ron didn't have one joke in that message this week. What in the world does he think he's not doing? You know, we need to be participators, gentlemen, because I'm talking to you today. The Lord wants you to be a participator. He wants you to be doing what he gifted you spiritually to be doing. He wants you to excel in every area of your life, but some of us, you know, we're very successful in what we're doing, but there's always one area that's weak, one area that's weak, and the Holy Spirit is in you to help you with that one area, and if that one area happens to be pointed out as we go through this Father's Day message, then let's not get all upset about that. Let's just take it to heart and say to ourselves, I'm so glad that I have a pastor who loves me enough to tell me what the Word of God says straight. And that I have a Heavenly Father who loves me so much that His love is unconditional towards me. I may be weak in this area, but He still loves me. I may be weak in this area, and my shepherd still loves me. I may be weak in this area, but the Holy Spirit's right there to come alongside and help me move forward and seeing this area in my life being strengthened. So we're going to look at the kind of man your kids need, the kind of man your wife needs, gentlemen, those of you who are married. Now listen, this isn't just for the guys that are here and have kids. This is here for the guys that also have grandkids. This is here for the guy who's here and he's a stepdad. This is for the guys that are here and you have no kids, but you're an uncle. And the Lord wants you, lose you uncles, to speak into the lives of your nephews and your nieces, but to speak into the lives with regard to being a man of God. In fact, being a mighty, faithful man of Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling for. So if you look at your notes, we're going to begin here in this first paragraph that I've written there for you. And the question is, have you ever taken the time to discover what are the characteristics of a faithful man of God? Now, that's a serious question, gentlemen. Have you ever really sat down to figure out what are the marks, what are the characteristics of a real man who is in Christ Jesus? And it goes on there, and I write, the kind you need to build a Christ-centered family. A Christ-centered family. The other question now to ask yourself is, do I have a Christ-centered family? If you do, just like I told Gary, I'd give you a chest bump, but probably kill me, if not you. Do you have a Christ-centered family? If you've been a Christian for more than a couple of years, and you're thinking, maybe I don't. Why is that? Why is that? The Holy Spirit's going to show you how you can change that kind of thing. How you can be a really Christ-centered dad. Looking back at your notes, let's consider an often overlooked passage in Philippians chapter 2. Now, Philippians. Some of you, how many of you were here when we went through Philippians?
I think I was.
But you've been gone 13 years. But they swear I took them 13 years to get through four chapters. Yeah. Well, it took a couple of years, honey. My niece is here from Tennessee. And Mary, you need to introduce yourself to my niece. You know, you Tennesseans, you have your own language now. She used to speak English, but, you know. So, but anyway, having said that, we're going to get to Philippians 2 after we look at some other passages. But it says, I've written here for you, as Paul writes about Timothy and Epaphroditus, he tells us of the characteristics found in a man who follows Jesus. You're going to get them. So he tells us here, number one, a mighty, faithful man of Jesus cares. Cares, that's your fill-in. He cares about others. We see here in Romans 12, verses 10 through 13, it begins with philostorgos. Philostorgos. He's saying love. He's saying being devoted to one another in brotherly affection. In Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Somebody's from Philadelphia. There you go. Is that really the city of brotherly love?
Yes, yeah,
great city. You haven't been there recently, have you?
7 years, 8 years.
So he says here, love one another with brotherly affection. This is that Philadelphia, philos kind of love. It is a love that we are to demonstrate kindness towards the people around us. It is truly, quote unquote, the brotherly love. It is a family affection that we have towards other people. So to be tender and kind towards other people. So dads, is this what your kids feel about you? You come home, you spend time with them on the weekend, and they have no question whatsoever. When Granddad comes over to visit, they have no question whatsoever that they are loved by you, truly loved, and they sense this warmth and this affection that you demonstrate to them. It goes on there in verse 10, and it says, outdo one another in showing honor. It's progegamai. And progegamai is telling us here that it's like a race. These are the word pictures we see with it. We are supposed to be stretching ourselves, running in this race. And what is the race that is here? We are to lead the way by example in showing honor. In showing honor, to show our kids, to show our wives that we esteem them, that we look at them as being more important than ourselves. Is this what you see yourself as an uncle, as a stepdad? In verse 11, he says, do not be slothful in zeal. He's saying here, don't be slow. Don't delay in your diligence. In your diligence to do what? He says, I want you here, he says, to be fervent. This word fervent, and in the Greek term, it means boiling. He wants you to be passionate. What are you supposed to be passionate about? It talks about being a slave of the Lord. Are you a slave of the Lord, guys? What he wants you to do, are you ready to do? If you're a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have any doubts about whether or not you have this philostorge kind of love, this Philadelphia love, and your family is lacking and really feeling this from you, as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to ask the Holy Spirit to release these things, because these are part of the behavior of the Lord Jesus. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. And He will help you to love on your kids in this way. He will help you to esteem them, and they will know that you think really highly of them. And I'm not talking about spoiling these kids. I'm talking about they really get the fact that you love them. They have high value in your mind, in your life, and you put them that way within the family. Verse 12, it says, rejoice in hope. And guys, are you rejoicing in hope? The idea is rejoicing in Jesus. Rejoicing in what the Lord Jesus has done for you guys. Do you rejoice, or do you take it for granted now that you've been a Christian for whatever period of time? Do you rejoice in knowing, man, Jesus is the man's man. Jesus went to the cross for me. He laid down His life for me, for my sins. He didn't do anything wrong. But He went to the cross, and there He was that perfect sacrifice. He took on Himself all the punishment I deserve. The wrath of God, I deserve it. And Dad, my heavenly Dad, sent His Son, and His Son took it upon Himself. Do you really deeply appreciate that kind of thing? He laid down His life for you and for me. Those of us that have been in the military and been to war, we know what it's like, because this guy on the right is dependent on me, and the guy on the left is depending on me, and I'm depending on both of them to keep all of us alive. And then he's gone because he's dead. I understand what it is when he protected my flank. He took the bullet, or he took the shrapnel from that 60-mile border. The Lord Jesus Christ, He went to the cross, gentlemen, for you. For all of your mess ups, for all of your deliberate sins, even the ones you've forgotten about. He went to the cross for you. Do you rejoice in that hope? I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I don't deserve heaven, but I'm going to heaven. He made it possible. I rejoice in that hope. I rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is terrific. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. He's saying to be strong and enduring in the troubles of life. Is this the way you manifest yourself to your wife? Does she see you in those tough times when she's really upset and she's really worried, and you come alongside and you're strong? Honey, the Lord knew about this. Honey, the Lord's going to walk us through this. We're going to get through it. We may lose our house, but He never promised that we get to keep the house. But He's going to make sure we have covering over our heads. When we get that medical report that we weren't expecting that, He's going to be with us in the midst of the tribulation, and he will help you be strong in it. Are you strong in those times, guys? I have not rejoiced in the Lord at times. I have not been strong in tribulation at times. But I could depend on another mighty man of Jesus to come alongside and help remind me to take my eyes off me. And remember what Jesus has done. And just as He was faithful in the past, He'll be faithful in the future. He's always faithful. all those who are in Christ Jesus. He's going to work everything together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Paul goes on and tells the Roman church family, he says, be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer, praying for wisdom, praying for knowledge, praying for strength, if that's what you need. Be constant in prayer. And dad, are you constant in prayer? Are you praying for that little boy of yours? You're praying for that adult son of yours? You praying for your daughter? Fellas, does your daughter know that you love her and you are praying for her? Because she has tremendous value in your eyes. Be constant in prayer. 13, contribute to the needs of the saints. We've been in this book, wonderful book of Acts, studying this thing. The Jerusalem church had no one in it who had a need. No one in it who had a need. None, guys. Because they were stepping up. They came out of the bleachers, they stopped buying the Dodger dogs and started buying stuff for the people in need. The church in America is filled with a bunch of hoarders. There is all the money in the church in America, not only to meet every church budget in America, but the missionaries' budgets around the world as well. But you know why we don't do that? It's because there are men that don't take the lead and say, we're going to be out here and making sure that we contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality and seek to be friendly to strangers and seek to be meeting the needs of other people, inviting them into our homes and seeing to their needs, or drawing another family in Christ to come join us to meet a particular need of a family in the church, or calling another two or three families together. That's why the Supper Sixes were intended for you to move on and not just dissolve after you had had meals together, but to see one another as people that you could fall in love with and appreciate. Kath and I, we're nuts about the people in our Supper Six. We're still meeting. We're getting together on July the 6th and going to have another one. We've never stopped because these people are valuable. And fellas, we're the biggest offenders. Well, I don't want to be part of a small group, you know. Obviously. When there's only 8 to 10 guys in our Saturday morning men's group, where are you? Well, I'm at work, Ron. Good excuse. But what about the rest of us? Well, I'm tired. You know, I'm really tired. I put in a 60-hour work week. I've been there. I'm there. I'm there over the 60 hours a week. But these guys are guys that you need. These are guys that have great value. These are guys that can help you grow up in Christ. We need each other, gentlemen. We need each other. It is a shame that so many of the males growing up in this country are not part of real teams growing up. You know, I don't know about these baseball teams and football teams where you get a trophy just because you showed up. We got trophies because we were either in first place, second place, or third place. And then we had team trophies for the most valuable player and this particular player and that particular player. You know, we can't hurt any of the people's feelings, you know. They can't handle it. They can't handle it because we're not training them up to handle it. Contribute to the needs. Show hospitality. So guys, here's number one. We have these mighty, faithful men of Jesus, and they care. According to the Word of God, do you care? Do you care? In Galatians 5:22, when Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, that's another kind of love. That's agape, the one that we've seen so much of. seeking the best and highest good of this other person at your expense. And then there's joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, humility, as it goes on and on and on. These are all marks of a mighty man of Jesus. A mighty man of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, be mimetes. He says, be imitators. I want you to imitate God. I want you to be like him. Well, I can't create worlds. No, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the things that he said you can do, and specifically with his help. With his help. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. There's that word again. There's that term that talks about warmth and affection. He has warmth and affection for you, fellas. He loves you, not only with agape love, but with phileo love. He wants you to be imitating him and showing the people around you agape love and phileo love. As beloved children, and peripateo, walk. The term here means live. Live in love. Live in agape. This is all part of your life, the whole of your life. You get up in the morning, you want to show the people around you at the house agape love. You're seeking their best, their highest good at your expense. As you go out the door, get in the car, agape love. Walk in love. Live in love as Christ sacrificed, as Christ loved us. There is our example, gentlemen. There's our example, Jesus. He paid the whole thing. He gave his life for us. And he gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, a fragrant offering. When you show other people, gentlemen, that agape love, you seek their best, their highest good at your expense. You see that this guy's needs are being met. You come alongside him and build him up, not tear him down with your foul language, but you build him up with words from the Lord. You build him up, and the Lord Jesus is making clear here through the Holy Spirit that it's a fragrant offering. Our Heavenly Father receives this sacrifice, and he says it has this wonderful aroma. Sons, please, mimic me as I am manifested in my Son. Be a lover. Be a lover. And that agape love has nothing to do with sentiment. Has everything to do with action. It's the phileo love that shows the tenderness and the affection. So guys, you're going to be a lion? Yeah, you're going to be lions. You're not going to be lambs, right? You're going to be lions. You're going to get off the bench because you see the stuff that needs to be done, and you're going to move forward, and you're going to be there for your brother. You're going to be there for your wife. Why should your wife still be up doing dishes and you sitting down and watching the Warriors get beat by the Raptors? Not by much. I'm very disappointed. But I can't be upset with those Warriors. Man, they almost did it in the last few seconds. But fellas, if she's still up doing the dishes, why don't you get up there, help her with the dishes, or maybe just do them yourself, and let her sit down with you? I can't hear what's going on, but I know it's girls, so I know, guys, we're in trouble. Preacher. I'm trying. So, fellas, I'm calling on you because the Holy Spirit has prompted me to point out these passages of Scripture. You see, this isn't naturally me. Kathy wouldn't say, man, I see all those things in my husband. He is so cool. Yeah, he rocks. She'll say, you know, he's come a long way. He's still growing. And so can you. Guys, so can you continue to be growing. We have this wonderful teacher, the Holy Spirit. And he's right there. He just says, let's go arm in arm, dude. Let's do it together. Paul describes Timothy like this, if you look at your notes, in Philippians 2, verses 20 through 21. Oh, good night. All right. I'm looking at that clock, and this is the first time I looked at it, and it's probably good that it's the first time. So we're going to come and pick up here next time. Point two is a mighty faithful man of Jesus is, and the fill-in here for this morning is, going to be back here next week. Not to make an excuse to say, my goodness, I do not want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say now. I had too much homework just with this morning's message. Take it in little bites, just like that pygmy when he was asked, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And, you know, guys, if you're still with your wife, I know that she would probably like to help you be the man that your kids need. Be the man she needs. Be the man our Heavenly Father wants you to be. And I really believe deep down in my own heart, it's the man you want to be in Christ as well. Get it? Good. All right, let's pray.